Joy is strength. Amen. How many know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? And I tell you right now, I know I'm not alone. I need the joy of the Lord every day to be my strength.
Amen.
It's very sad that we got to hear these news. I mean, we live in a nation founded by God, and look at all these things that are happening. You know, and a lot of times I don't even want to put the news on, but the reality is, it's depressing. When we hear the news, it is very depressing. It depresses you. And I have to tap in to the joy of the Lord. I have to tap in who my God is. My God is joy. Is joy in my life. Amen. He is my joy. And without God, I really don't know if I would be able to stand right here before you. Because he's the one that gives me strength. Many times I just want to give up. I feel very discouraged. Amen. You know, when I'm on Zoom Tuesday nights and I'm the only one on, and then little by little people start coming in. Amen. But it gets discouraging. Amen. When I come into prayer, I'm the only one in prayer. And then people begin to come in. But this just less than a handful of people that are committed to prayer and Bible studies. So it gets very discouraging. I want to share this from my heart. It's very discouraging when people don't show, when people don't commit. Yes. They're not committing to me.
That's right.
You're committing to God. Amen. This is not to me. God sees everything that you're doing. God sees it all. And yes, there are circumstances. Amen. But I am not just Pastor Bernice. I am Bernice. I'm human. Amen. I have feelings. I got emotions. Amen. And I got the Spirit of the Lord. So I tap into my God every day. Amen. Because I need his strength and I need to keep my joy alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Because as a leader of this ministry, of this community, amen, it does get discouraging. Hear me out. I'm speaking from my heart. This wasn't even part of my message, okay? I'm just speaking from my heart. Very discouraging when I don't see members of the body of Christ coming into a Bible study just for 45 minutes to an hour on a weekly basis, because I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing this for you. Amen. This is God wants us to make disciples. Amen. Same thing with prayer. This nation needs prayer. This ministry needs prayer. We purchased the building over a year ago. This ministry needs prayer. Amen. And God is not hard of hearing. Amen. But when we come together, we try not to just pray the same thing. We come in and we give glory to God. We thank God for everything he's done in this ministry and everything that he's going to do in the future, because we are the beacon of light for this community that we are going to be serving in. Amen. So I'm just saying, amen, that I have to keep the joy, which joy for me, capital J-O-Y, is God.
Amen.
I keep my eyes on joy, which is God to me. Amen. Because every day he becomes my strength. He becomes everything that I need him to be for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to begin, and I just want to give you a little content. Amen. In the book of Nehemiah, and that's where we're going to begin in chapter 8. And I'm going to read a few verses here. But in the book of Nehemiah, we got to remember that at this time in chapter 8, Nehemiah, he is the governor right here. And the people of Israel had just returned from exile. Amen. They had just returned from a 70-year captivity from the country of Babylon, which is today Iraq. Amen. And under Nehemiah's leadership, if you remember, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. He's the one that went to Darius, Amen. And say, hey, I'm really down because these walls of Jerusalem are still down. We need to rebuild them. Can you give me permission to go? Can you put a decree out and let me go and get these walls of Jerusalem rebuilt? And he was granted that. Amen. Not only was he granted the walls to be rebuilt, but the people came together and helped them rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. And Ezra is a priest. He's a teacher. Hallelujah. That was present during that time also. And right now, they're in a state right now that Nehemiah is the governor, and he tells Ezra, let's read scripture to the people. Let's read the word of God to the people. Let's read the book of the Lord to the people. Let's encourage the people. The people need encouragement because they had just come back from captivity. Amen. The people need to be encouraged. And we, as people of God, we need to be encouraged. And we can find encouragement in the word of God because it is the word of God that restores. And it restores our hearts. Amen. And it gives us the joy, the support, the encouragement, the edification that we need. And the people from Israel needed that. Amen. So I want to start in chapter 8. Let me see where I start. Let's begin from, it's a great story. Let's begin from verse 1. Amen. And it says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now the book of the law is the five first books of the Bible. So you're talking about Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you know, these five books, amen, of the law, which is called the Torah. That is the book of the law that they wanted him to read. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. In other words, he read for a couple hours, for a few hours. He was reading before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They were listening. The people were listening. Verse 4, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood, and I don't know if I can pronounce all these names, Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and at his left hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkisha, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. I want to stop there for a minute. Ezra was standing before the, and he was standing above all the people. And let me tell you something. This is why in a church setting, you got to have a platform, and that platform, which is a holy ground of God, has to be elevated, amen, towards the people, because God and the people are not in the same level, amen. And a minister that speaks from the pulpit of God, who has been called to preach the word of God, is taking God's place at that moment. And that's why the platform in a church needs to be elevated. And I've heard stories, amen, where the platform has stood still and is placed on the floor of the church, and that church did not grow at all. On the other, you know, it did the whole opposite. Amen. That church shut down. They rebelled against God. I've heard some horror stories. But God is not the same as us. God needs to be elevated. He is God. He is Redeemer. He is faithful. So here we have Ezra had to be elevated. He was standing above all the people because he was reading the word of God. He was reading God's words. Amen. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And the people stood up, why? In reverence. The people stood up in reverence. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then we got all these names coming up, these people, right? And it says in the middle of chapter, in verse 7, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Amen. So here we have Levites bringing understanding of the word of God, because let's be real, not everybody understands the word of God. The word of God is, you can receive understanding by revelation of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that brings the revelation so that you could understand the word. And people were, I believe it was Aramaic, some people, the Levites were interpreting the word in Aramaic in a language that some of the people present could understand. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. You know why Nehemiah is saying that? Because in reading the book of the law, amen, you gotta remember, you got Genesis, you got Exodus, especially the book of Exodus. What the Lord did for the Israelites, he took them out of bondage and brought them into a promised land. God took care of them in the wilderness. God healed everybody that looked up at the pole. Remember the serpent on the pole? People were getting sick, but the Lord God said, hey, tell my people to look at the pole, and everyone that looked at the pole will not get sick. Amen. And then last week when we read about the deliverance that took place in the Israelites, that not one of them came out feeble. Not one of them came out sick. God took care of the people. So here as Ezra is reading the book of the Lord, the people are like, oh my God, we rebelled against God. Our fathers rebelled against God. And here it says, this day, Nehemiah is saying, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They understood. They came into a realization. They didn't feel guilty. They didn't feel shame or condemned. No, they came into a realization of how good God is. And how God brought them out of that 70-year captivity. Yes, did they deserve judgment? Remember, we're talking about the old covenant. In the old covenant, there was judgment. We don't have judgment today. We're in the new covenant, better covenant today. We are under a covenant of grace. But back then, amen, people rebelled against the Lord. People turned their backs against God. People complain about God. And so as these scriptures were being read, there was conviction happening to their hearts. And they wept and they got saddened. Amen. But Nehemiah said, no. Let's not weep anymore. You don't need to weep. You don't need to be down. Because you know why they were down? Because they became to a realization that they had drifted really far from God. And sometimes we drift very far from God. Sometimes we allow the circumstances in our life to drift us from the Word of God, to drift us from having communion with God, conversation with God. And Nehemiah came in and said, no, told them in a very powerful way, don't weep, don't mourn, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord, because God has redeemed them. Amen. God has redeemed you and I. And sometimes we too, we weep, we mourn the failures that we may have. We weep because of sometimes discouragement, things that are not going our way. Sometimes, you know, the conditions of our lives, sometimes we tend to weep and we mourn our situation. But yet God is saying today to you, when the Word of God comes into you, amen, that word gives you encouragement. It edifies you. And what the Lord is saying today is rejoice. For my joy will be your strength. Rejoice today. Don't worry about what's happening. Don't worry about what you've done. Don't worry about what's going on today in the world. Don't worry about the condition surrounding you. Rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk to you about the joy of the Lord, because we go from sorrow to strength. And sorrow means when you're in a deep distress, or maybe you're walking in disappointment. You're walking in things that you never expected would happen to you. But the Word of God is saying, no, allow the joy. I'm joy. Allow me to be your strength. Amen. And the reality is that people were brokenhearted over sin. They had sinned against God. The people in Israel had sinned against God, and they came to that realization, oh my God, we sinned against God. And sometimes we say the same thing, oh my God, what am I doing? The flesh is speaking for me right now. We sin against God, and we got to come to repentance. Amen? And what repentance does, it opens the door for restoration. Repentance delivers you from that junk that you're thinking about, from that junk that you're walking in. Repentance just cleanses you out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you can get right back up and keep going. And the reality is, God didn't want them to remain in grief. Because after repentance comes rejoicing. After deliverance comes rejoicing. After confessing comes rejoicing, because we know who we serve. Amen. We serve a God that is good, that is forgiving. Hallelujah. He's our Redeemer. Amen. We just serve a God that is full of love. Love, love, love. He is love. And joy is not a denial of pain, but it's a divine replacement, of your circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
This is why if you turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 30, verse 5, look at what it says. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, But joy comes in the morning. Amen. This is why joy is not denial of pain. It is a divine replacement, because joy replaces the weeping that may endure through a night. Joy replaces disappointments. Joy replaces, amen, distress. Joy replaces sadness. Amen. And joy rises when we realize that God's mercy is greater than our mistakes. That joy rises when we realize that God's mercy is greater than our disappointments, than our circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
And we got to recognize that joy, the source of joy, comes only from the Lord. It says, notice that it says the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say the joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is God's. That means if it's God's own joy, not something that we produce. We can't produce joy. God is joy.
Amen.
And the joy that comes from the Lord, it comes because of knowing Him. Who God is. Who is He in our lives? God is joy. When you begin to recognize that God is joy, you can begin to walk in joy every single day. 24/7, you can walk in joy. Because this is the joy that we know. It comes from the Lord. One, we are forgiven, right? Knowing that you are forgiven should give you great joy. Amen. I am forgiven. That should give you great joy. Let's go to Ephesians 1:7, right? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, it says, in Him, meaning in Christ, right? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let me tell you, by grace, right? By grace, we have been saved. The Lord Jesus went to the cross. And when He shed His blood, that right then and there, that became our redemption. Amen. Clearly, this shows, amen, and reveals that redemption is the forgiveness of sins. And for that alone, we can rejoice. Our sins have been forgiven. Past, present, and future sins, all forgiven, all under the blood, all paid for at the cross. There is no way you and I can receive redemption apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no way. And knowing that should give you great joy. You have been forgiven. Amen. The word of God says that we are loved, right? In Jeremiah 31:10, if you want to turn there. 31:3, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 31:3. Just remember, in light of everything the Israelites have gone through, Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This is the Lord. Remember, in the midst of judgment, in the midst of chaos, in the stories of the Old Testament, right? God is still speaking an everlasting love to His people. And yes, the Israelites, they were punished. But the punishment of the Israelites was not only punitive, it was redemptive. It was for the nation's own good. Remember, what the enemy intended for evil, God will always turn it around for your own good. Amen?
Amen.
And God's love is unconditional. Unconditional. Just look at the verse, John 3:16, which we all know it by heart. For God so loved the world unconditionally, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. and eternal life, as we spoke on Tuesday night, is right here today for us to embrace. It is the abundant life of God that has given us. Amen. It's not just about, oh, okay, way back in the near future, I'm going to be living the eternal life that God has promised. No, the eternal life began the moment you said yes to the Lord Jesus. The abundant life, the eternal life, the kingdom life, you began the minute you said yes to the Lord. Amen. Go back to the Bible studies teaching when it's up and you'll find out. That is so much more. John 3:16 is a lot more than what ministers preach on. Amen. There's so much more to that verse. Amen. The joy of the Lord comes also knowing that we are not alone. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Let's go there. The book of Hebrews 13:5. Thank you, Lord. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Hallelujah. The joy comes from knowing that God will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. And the Lord has given us his word that he will never leave us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. God is always with us. And sometimes, and this is our reality, sometimes we don't always feel God's presence. And our own circumstances, what we're going through, amen, don't always look like God is with us, correct? I know I'm not alone. But yet, we don't always see the sun either, right? Like in New York, we don't see the sun today. There are many times when we may go for weeks without seeing the sun. I know for the next few days, it's just going to be cloudy and raining out here in New York. Amen. But we know the sun is there. It's behind the clouds. And likewise, God is always there, whether you see him, whether you feel him or not.
Right.
He's always present. Why? Because he resides in you.
Amen.
God is always present. So listen, joy comes from knowing that God has forgiven us, that we are unconditionally loved, and that we're never alone. Amen. And the reality is that the entrance, listen to me, the entrance of God's word gives light. It gives us light. It gives us understanding to the simple things. God's word is simple. And we have the power of the Holy, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's revealing, interpreting, bringing us illumination of the word. And the word of God says that God's word is more precious than silver and much, much finer than gold. Amen. And I just want to, we need to go to the verses to read these things. Let's go to the book of Psalms 119. Verse 130, the book of Psalms 119. Hallelujah. 119, 130. Look what it says. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Amen. In other words, God's word is simple. It brings truth. It brings light. Amen. It just opens up your mind and it brings you to a reality of the truth of God. Amen. Look what it says. Psalm 9. Let's go to Psalm 19 and let's go to verse 7. So just go back a few scriptures. 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. So this is what the word does. The word renews our mind, as we know. It converts us. Amen. It brings us out of darkness and brings us into the light of truth of who God is, of the nature of God, of the truth of the word of God. It brings understanding because now we have the Holy Spirit that comes and confirms the word of God to us. Amen. And the word of God is, it says he is more precious than silver and gold. Amen. Amen. Because it's a true testament of who God is, of who we serve. And the reality is when we read the word of God, we're reading and we're talking to God, and God is talking back to us through the word, and it is a beautiful, intimate relationship. And the joy and true joy flows from relationship with God the Father, with God, with his Son, with the Holy Spirit. True joy flows from having an intimate relationship with God. True joy doesn't flow from circumstances. No. You can become happy that you got a brand new car. Amen. But true joy doesn't come from material things. True joy comes from having a relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also fills us with joy of heaven. Amen. It is the same Spirit. The Spirit of God fills us with joy, with strength. Amen. Another thing about joy is the joy. There is power in the journey of joy because joy is our strength. Joy is a spiritual strength that we have. And when joy fades, so does courage. So does endurance. When we allow the joy of the Lord to fade from us, we become discouraged. Amen?
Amen.
We become disappointed. But the joy of the Lord keeps your faith alive. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. And let's go to verse 3. Isaiah 12, 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. This is so prophetic. Amen. Listen, we have rivers of living water because we have the Holy Spirit of God. And this chapter, what it's doing, is depicting the joy this will cause among the Jews who return. So not only were the Jews being redeemed, amen, hallelujah, the Jews were redeemed. They were brought out from that exile. They were redeemed by the Lord. God saved them. Amen. God gave them a better life. Amen. And unfortunately, Jesus himself in the New Testament, we recognize that even the Jews, they couldn't even recognize the Messiah that was right there in front of them. Pharisees, amen. Sadducees, Israelites, people in leadership, they couldn't even recognize. They said, oh, we know the book of the law. Oh, we know of Moses. Oh, we know of the Exodus. We know of all these things, but yet they still could not recognize Jesus, the Messiah, that the book of Isaiah and other prophetic books spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's go to Romans 15, the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. We're talking about the joy being our strength, our power tool. I see joy as a power tool for my strength. Amen. Romans 15, 13. And it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's a mouthful right here. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So that means that hope is a positive imagination, right? Mm-hmm. And the Lord wants to fill us with joy, with peace and faith to produce nothing but positive imagination. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit, which resides in us today, church, to accomplish this. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we can't walk in joy. It's because the joy that we walk in without the Holy Spirit is only temporary. I don't know about you, but I want permanent joy.
Amen.
I want to walk in permanent joy, in the joy of the Lord, not in the joy of men, not in the joy of material things. Amen?
Amen.
And the reality, we can't do this in our own human ability. So those who are low on hope are not really walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest. They're walking in the vanity of the flesh. And faith is a noun and belief is a verb, right? So this is speaking of the acting out of faith. For faith to be put into practice, joy and peace need to be in operation. So if you want to walk in faith, you got to be practicing and walking in the joy and peace of the Lord. They need to be active. They need to be operating in your life. And a person without joy and peace may have faith, but they may not be walking in belief. Amen. So this is why Romans is saying we need to abound in the hope of the Lord. Amen. We need to be walking in the truth of the word of God. If we truly believe this, there will be joy. There will be peace, especially when it comes to your health. If we truly believe that we have to abound in the hope of the Lord, when it comes to health, you will have joy. You will have peace. You will have hope concerning your future because our hope is in God. It's not in man. Our hope is in him. He is the joy. He is our strength. And the same holds true for wealth. If you're praying for, for prosperity, it holds true. You gotta remain in the hope of the Lord and know that God is there for you. He's not against you. He wants you to prosper in every area of your life, just as your soul prospers. Amen. So you gotta be in the word. And joy is the tool that gives you the endurance through any trials or circumstances that are happening in your life. So you got to remain. Know that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You got to believe. And if you're lacking in joy and peace or in hope of the Lord, that means that's only signaling that you are lacking in these things because of unbelief. You see, when you have unbelief present, you cannot walk in the joy of the Lord. You will not walk in the peace of God. You will not walk in the hope of God because unbelief is present in your life. So you got to get rid of unbelief, amen, and tap into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Because it is the joy of God that will give you the strength to overcome trials, circumstances, disappointments, failures. It is the hope in God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to the book of Hebrews 12:2. The book of Hebrews. In 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, it has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. There was a joy. It was us. God saw us. Amen. There was a joy that was set before the Lord. And this is why the Lord Jesus was able to endure the cross. Jesus endured pain, church, endured pain and suffering as no one else has ever has in this life. Amen. I don't think we've ever heard of anybody that has gone through what Jesus went through. Amen. Nobody can endure what the Lord Jesus went through. And he not only endured this in the physical realm, but he also bore the sickness and disease of the whole world. He suffered spiritually as he literally became sin for us. He did it for us.
Amen.
And yet, the word of God is saying here, he wasn't occupied with the suffering, but with the spoils of victory. He only saw the victorious. Amen. He only saw that this is just for a moment, but on the third day, I am resurrecting. On the third day, I'm going to be alive. Amen. I may be dead now, but on the third day, I'm going to be with God the Father. I'm going to be with my people. I'm going to come down and I'm going to appear in front of Peter and all the disciples and in front of the women. And I'm going to give them instructions and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and church will never be the same again. And this world will never be the same again. Amen. For the joy that was set before him. And that's why he was able to endure such contradiction of sinners against himself. And that is the same for us. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how people are contradicting us. It doesn't matter how people are coming against us, because we serve a great God. Amen. We gotta endure. Amen. Endure through those trials, through those circumstances, through the mockeries, through the rejection, because there is a joy set before us that we know who we are in Christ. Amen. We know our identity. We know that the joy of the Lord is our peace, our strength, and our hope. Amen. And that alone, it don't matter what's going on around us. I got the joy of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And the joy of the Lord empowers us with perseverance. That means it doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. He is the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to keep going. I don't care if nobody shows up at Bible studies. I'm going to keep going. Amen. I don't care if nobody shows up for prayer. I'm going to keep going, for the joy of the Lord has been set before me.
Amen.
Because God will tell me one day, oh, Bernice, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. I'm entering in. I know it. That's the joy that I have, because I'm pressing in. I'm pleasing God. I'm not going astray. I'm doing what God called me to do. Whether I do it perfectly or not, that doesn't matter to God. What matters to God, when that he sees me, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, in me.
Amen.
So he sees me perfectly. Amen. He doesn't look at my failures. He doesn't look at what I did yesterday. He doesn't look at my disappointments, at my certain. No, he sees me. He sees me in the spirit. God is spirit. He only sees me in the spirit, and my spirit is perfect.
Amen.
In his eyes, because the Lord Jesus resides in me. So when God looks at you, he's looking at his son, Jesus Christ. So joy empowers me to persevere, and it should empower you and fuel you with faith to keep standing when life gets heavy. When life gets heavy, because life will get heavy if it's not already. Amen. When life gets heavy, the joy of the Lord will empower you to persevere. As Amen. Long as you don't give up on God. And the reality is that there is a celebration that has to take place in joy. We got to celebrate the goodness of God. And so there is an expression of joy as we read in Nehemiah. And I'm going to go back there. We're almost done, sort of. Amen. I'm telling you, God is just, he's got so much to say in the past few weeks. So I'm going to tell you again, put on your seatbelts again, okay? Just keep them on. Amen. Because there's a lot that God wants to say to his people, especially during these times. Amen. And here, you know, he says to the people in verse 10, Nehemiah 8, verse 10, he says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is verse 10. There's a great celebration going on. He says, rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice that the Lord delivered you from the Egyptians. Rejoice that the Lord delivered you from this captivity in Babylon. Rejoice because God is doing a new thing. Even the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43 told the nation of Israel, don't you know that I am doing a new thing? Amen. So we need to rejoice because joy always overflows into celebration. So we need to rejoice. And Nehemiah said, we need to celebrate. This is a holy day. You need to celebrate. Don't remain weeping. Don't remain sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is right here, right now, and it is your strength. And the reality is when we begin to share in the joy of the Lord with others, generosity takes place. Just like here, it says here in the verse 10, it says, go eat, right? Drink the sweet and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. That means share with those that may not have anything to eat, that may not be able to celebrate because of whatever, right? So share into this celebration. Rejoice with others. Share the joy of the fact that we have been redeemed from the Egyptians. We have been redeemed from the Babylonians. Share in this joy. And not only share among you and be generous, but let's worship the Lord together. Let's lift up a praise unto God. Instead of weeping, instead of being in despair, let's lift up our hands and just praise and worship God.
Amen.
Amen. Because this is a time of celebration. This is a holy day for them. It's a time of celebration. Joy is both an attitude and an action. And sometimes we need to sing ourselves into strength. Sometimes in whatever it is, if I'm down, if I'm disappointed, I got to begin to praise the Lord and sing myself out because it gives me strength. The strength of God to continue to move forward. Amen. That's what joy does. But it's an attitude. It's intentional. It's an action. You have to do it. You can't just know about it. Oh, I know the joy of the Lord is my strength. But if you don't do anything about it, it profits you nothing. Amen.
Amen.
So here we have, so how do we restore joy? How do we keep it alive? If joy has grown weak on you, and sometimes it does, we need to renew it, don't we? Well, let's go to Psalm 16:11. Let's see how we keep joy alive in us, okay? Let's go to the book of Psalm 16:11. And it says here, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So how you keep and renew, keep your joy alive and renew it? You got to return to the Lord's presence, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. The way to get into the presence of the Lord is through putting God first. We got to put God first in our hearts and our attention. Amen. We gotta become aware. God is all around us. Amen. His presence is everywhere. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Right now, He's right there with you. In His presence, there is fullness of joy.
Amen.
And a person who isn't experiencing the fullness of joy and the pleasures of God is not dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Very simple. If you're not experiencing joy in God, you're not dwelling in His presence. Amen? That's how simple the gospel is, church. And if we want these things, if we want that fullness, that joy, that peace, that hope, that strength, we have to dwell in the presence of God. And for that, you have to be intentional. Just like joy, you have to be intentional. You got to put action behind your words. You just got to be in it. You got to remain in His presence. Hallelujah. Another way, let's go to Psalm 119, 111. Another way to renew that joy. 119, 111. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 119, 111. It says, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart." Amen. What is your testimony, church? Because that testimony that you have should be a joy of your heart, should be the joy of your heart. Just speaking about what God has done in your life, how God saved you. That is your heritage. And heritage is something that we pass down from preceding generations. Amen. And the most important thing that you can pass down to your children from year to year is the written word of God. Amen. Because it is the word. It is that relationship that develops the joy that we walk in every day. If we truly understood how precious God's word is, then it would be the rejoicing of our hearts. And this is why it's so critical for us to take the word of God and just bask into it. Eat it every day. Nourish your mind with it. Amen. Because your mind has to be constantly renewed by the word of God. Amen. It's not just enough to know the word. We got to be in it. And when we're in the word of God, guess what? We can then resist the enemy's lie. Because the reality is joy is stolen by fear, is stolen by guilt, it is stolen by doubt. And God wants to guard your heart. And the way you guard your heart is through the word of God and by having an intimate relationship with God. Amen? And we got to rejoice. We got to rejoice by faith. In Philippians, right? Philippians, that's my last verse. Philippians 4:4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippi church. And he says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Meaning rejoice by faith. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice is a verb. It's something that we do. Amen. Happiness is only a state of being. Amen. And it's temporary. And we may not always be happy, but we can always rejoice, right? We can always rejoice because the joy of the Lord comes from God. Amen. We can rejoice regardless of what's happening around us. Paul wouldn't have commanded us to do it if he thought we couldn't do it. No, we got the Holy Spirit. We got God Himself. Amen. So we need to rejoice. We need to walk in the joy of the Lord every single day. Amen. Every single day. And this is why Paul repeated it. You know, he didn't just say rejoice, but rejoice again. He said again, rejoice always. Amen.
Amen.
because he wanted to make sure that he wasn't saying that by mistake. No, we need to rejoice. We need to joy in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is not a seasonal emotion. It's our supernatural strength. And it's our supernatural strength for life. Are you hearing me? For life. It lifts us up above circumstances. It anchors our hearts in peace, and it empowers us to keep going, when we rather give up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
I know I'm not alone. Sometimes, and many people here, you just wanted to give up. He says, God, this is too much. I don't want to commit anymore. I can't do this. Amen. Hallelujah. But the joy of the Lord, amen, is our supernatural strength. So today, God is saying to you, and to me, don't weep over what's behind you. Don't weep about what happened yesterday. Rejoice in what I'm doing before you today, right now,
amen.
Because my joy will carry you through and through, and time again, says the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. Let's close this out with a prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a message that we all need to hear. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's bow our heads down and let's just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. We just give you the glory, and we just thank you, God, that your joy is our strength, Lord. Father God, we ask that you restore us the joy of our salvation. Hallelujah. Let your presence, Lord, let your presence just fill us, Lord, with gladness, and may that joy be our strength in every battle that we may face, in every burden that we may come into contact with, Father God. And let the joy of the Lord, Father God, be in our and every blessing that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. We thank you, God, for this marvelous word, Father God, because this word has been made simple to us, Lord, today, that your joy, Lord, is our strength. Hallelujah. That weeping and sorrow may last through the night, but the joy of the Lord always comes in the morning. So, Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for just your strength, for strengthening us today, this morning, for edifying, Father God, our spirit today, our mind, for allowing our minds to be renewed with your word, Lord God. And Father God, we declare and decree, Father, that we are in an intimate relationship with you, because we adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord God. So, Father, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise, Lord God. And we thank you for being our strength during these dark times that we are living in, Father God. But, Lord, we can stand rejoicing and rejoicing always that you are God. Hallelujah. That you have forgiven us. You have delivered us. Hallelujah. You have made us brand new creatures in you, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you have never left us nor forsaken us. So, Father, we just give you the glory for your presence that is right here with us right now. And we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.